1-800-449-8686. And now, Phil Hendry.
You may now talk to Phil, 1-800-449-8686, about the show, about your opinions, about other crap beyond the show or within the show or things you'd like to respond to. Some people say, man, I don't know what you think about things. I can't figure out from the bits that you do exactly how you feel about things. And the other day, I recounted a few bits and explained, well, what they mean in terms of how I feel about things. So let's take this bit we just did. Let's take the Dave Oliva, people are so stupid, they won't know that Chris Tucker doesn't represent a real LAPD officer. Now, one of the calls we took in that hour, and I'm not going to say which one because I don't want to be cruel, but one of the calls that we took in that hour was from a woman who was accusing him of being really stupid. You know the one I'm talking about, Craig? She was accusing him of being stupid. She was accusing Dave of being an idiot. And yet she said something pivotal. What was the... She said because he was a Mexican, he must be criminally prone. So what could be a better illustration of what that bit was all about than Dave coming on and through his stupidity drawing, I mean, almost the way a poison is drawn from someone using some sort of a astringent. That hour was an astringent for dumb because it sucked it right out of a few people, I'll tell you that. I think anyway. I mean, like, you know, maybe you don't think so. That's fine. Let me check out PhilHendryShow.com while we wait for some scintillating phone action here at 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. PhilHendryShow.com, your interactive website, your interactive connection to the Phil Hendry Show. Just go to PhilHendryShow.com. You find out about us. You'll find an archive of our last five shows. Also, a few bits from our archives, sound bites, show news, affiliate list, and, of course, news about our CD that we have, The Best of the Phil Hendry Show, Year 2000. And also our Phil Hendry Polls America. Today the question is, who's worse for society, a preacher in the name of Jesus scamming money from people or the dumbass that gives him the money? Let's see where we are right now after, so many hours having this up on our website. 60% to 40% favoring the dumbass that gives him the money. I wasn't able to get into this when I first brought this up, but if that's true, if people really think that, and I think that that's probably what people believe. I think if you present them with the option that way, obviously the dumbass that gives them the money, he should know better. He should be smarter. He should be a much more discriminating consumer. He should be like me, then, is what a lot of people think. Well, if that's true, then how come we're always giving the crap to the preacher? Oral Roberts is a freak. Jimmy Swaggart is a thief. Jim Baker is a this, and that other guy is something else. And I don't know how many of these guys got caught with their hand in the, if you'll pardon the expression, cookie jar. Just the three of them? Oral Roberts did that whole goofball thing with Jesus, that 800-foot Jesus told me I'm going to croak if I don't get enough money. Anyway, how come we let the guy, let all the suckers that send the money in off the hook and nail those guys? Because as I've always said, and I will continue to say for years to come, that's some of the best entertainment on TV. You want to pull that off the air? Why? Because you think those guys are crooks? They're not crooks. They're the greatest showman the world has ever known. I love them. That Gene Scott, that knucklehead, you know, all of these guys, it's just great. You know the guy I'm talking about? A lot of you guys don't know Gene Scott. He's a local L.A. He's a cigar-smoking, cowboy hat-wearing, bad song singing, all these chicks hanging around, preacher. He sits in like a chair, and he swivels back and forth, and you can't figure out what he's talking about. You can't figure. He's so psycho, so completely out of his mind. But I tell you what, I'll send him money. I think I have sent him money because the entertainment is beyond anything that you can get anywhere else. It's just tremendous. Oh, my God, he's great. Isn't he out of Glendale or something?
Yeah,
his church is in Glendale. His church is in Glendale. Is he the guy with the big Jesus Save sign? He bought that church. The one with the big Jesus Save sign, man, that is an old church. Goes back. See, L.A.'s been the headquarters for religious nutcases for years. And I say that with great respect. But the preachers, the real guys that get up there and they really know how to squeeze that dollar, man. They can rub those two nickels together, get the buffaloes to mate. Those guys, they've been around this town for years. This was the headquarters. Now, I don't know, I haven't seen too many of them lately. But they always had some nutcases. So why do we come down on those guys? You want to come down on the guy who's giving the money over and going, well, he said he sent me the holy prayer cloth. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did he also send you the cloth soaked in the holy oil that he put his hand in?
Yeah, I got that one, too.
Uh-huh. And did you also get the prayer beads and the prayer sweatband and the holy jock strap? You get all of that?
Yeah, I got the family pack. Why do you ask? What are you getting at?
You're a nut. That's what I'm getting at. That's not going to do anything for you.
Well, my wife is dying of cancer. And I'm really trying to say that I really believe that he could just reach right down in there and pull that bad organ, but just pull that tumor out.
That's not a tumor he pulled out. That's some chicken liver he bought over at Vaughn's. Pull the tumor out. So anyway, everybody is weighing in today on our poll, and the dumbass over the preacher, the dumbass leads 60% to 40%. 1-800-449-8686. And let me go over here to Josh. Hi, Josh. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil, love.
Have you
love
called
your show.
The show before?
What's that?
Have you called the show before?
Yeah,
you sound. You've
ago.
Got that nice relaxed sound of a guy who's just dialing that phone, seeing if he can get in anybody's show, anywhere, any town. You got that real, I'm so relaxed calling in. What can I do for you, Josh?
Well, Phil,
are you eating right now?
I wanted to ask you about Roland Schwinn.
Uh-huh.
I love the character. However, I think, I'm not exactly sure, but I think he changed him. He's a publisher. Most
right.
recent time I heard him, he was a publisher before. He used to be, 5'8", 200 or...
Right.
Why'd you change him?
Because we couldn't get enough material out of just having him come on as a fat man all the time.
Oh, okay.
Because, in other words, it was just simply constant fat baiting.
Right.
And there was other stuff that I would want to have him do. And we had him be a publisher of, I don't know what it was, Brie and Cheese Weekly or something. Wine and Brie Monthly. Because there was something going on with the Spago's closing down. That's a character that's never been really clearly defined, so I just keep trying to find stuff for him to do until it gets...
I mean, usually I like it when he starts talking to the other person and he'll have a bunch of sandwich in his mouth.
Yeah, yeah. And we still have him do some of that, but we really ran out of fat jokes for him.
Well, also, Phil, I also wanted to tell you this, and I'm not trying to be funny when I say this, but Bud Dickman, if he wanted to... He can get a job at some of the stations down here in South Florida. I don't know if you want me to mention, but I'm not kidding. If you don't believe me, you listen to some.
Well, Bud actually works at Fox Sports 1150 here in L.A. He does. He's teamed with Tom Looney, and so he's already got a gig out here. I know exactly what you mean.
Yes, you have 10-year-old kids reading very important spots. I'm sure that's the.
I heard a guy on. I don't know what sports station it was. I couldn't believe it. He says, "Now let's go over to whoever."
Well, thanks a lot. You aren't saying something like that. The thing I'm saying.
The guy's talking like that. Like he.
I know.
A speech impediment or something.
However, you know, it has given me hope that if I do fall in hard times, I might just pursue a career in radio. So thanks a lot, Phil.
You should do that, Josh. All right, man. Thanks a lot. You do that and get away from the raw bar now and try to maybe take another crack at the want ads, will you? 1-800-449-8. Talk about sunbaked. There you go. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Lance on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil. This is Lance.
How you doing, Lance?
I'm pretty good. I'm just wondering if you drink as much as you talk about. Are you really a boozer?
Well,
or
I mean, what do you mean by
talking about drinking?
What do you mean by that? Every night? No. On the weekends?
Do you get drunk?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh,
how
sure.
How often?
Oh, I don't know. Probably every weekend.
Weekend warrior,
probably every weekend, yeah.
And then maybe, you know, maybe one beer when you hit home.
Although to hear people tell it, I don't look like I'm drunk.
So you handle it good.
Well Craig's sitting here. He says, no, you really don't. And I don't know what it is. I grew up in a culture of alcohol. You know, I grew up Roman Catholic and everybody drank in my family, all my friends. It was a booze culture. And I have through all of my life since I was, 8 or 9. And, you know, so is that it?
You sound like you're pretty comfortable with your drinking. You don't sound like a problem. It's not a problem for you.
Yeah,
so
I believe,
kind of picked up on that.
I think I am. I believe I'm comfortable with it.
You handle it.
Yeah, I think I handle it. I don't drink on what I call school nights, which are work nights. Friday night, tonight's Friday night, so I'm going to meet a friend of mine for dinner over here.
And you're not driving around drunk, are you, Phil?
No. Okay. No. Let me think. No, I'm
not.
I
hear those guys laughing in the background.
Well, Taylor is—he's looking at my face. You know, it's kind of an interesting question. Booze is the recreationally accepted drug in this society. All of that stuff is illegal except for booze, and so those of us who partake of recreational drugs, we're only left with liquor or breaking the law. And so, I'd rather not break the law, and I don't break
especially
the law
the
in terms
around.
Of that other stuff. So, yeah, I do. I do take a drink. And you know, in other words, you hear a lot of people say,
oh, I have a glass of wine with dinner.
Well, no, I don't have a glass of wine with dinner. I hate white wine, and I hate people to drink white wine. No, I throw back a shot and a beer. And it's not because I come from, like, Western Pennsylvania and my kid's playing college, he's in high school football. It's because I like tequila, and I like to chase it with a beer.
Right. That's about what I thought. I just wanted to make sure it was all
and
real.
Sometimes, yeah, I can't get up from the table. So, okay,
all right, thanks a lot,
all right,
Phil.
Pal, bye. God, that was an embarrassing question, but I had to answer it. 1-800-449-8686. This is You May Now Talk to Phil, our weekly check-in on your views and mine, and we throw it all together and see what comes out. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show, back in just a moment here.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm sorry, and maybe I'm just not educated enough, although I've been around people who've had alcohol abuse problems, and I've seen people in this business, especially with drug problems. I just don't think getting blotto every now and again makes you an alcoholic. You know, I don't need to drink every day, and I don't need it to steady my nerves, and I don't need it to get up in the morning, and it's a very rare pleasure for me to drink, but I do drink, and I've got a sharper mind than most of the people I know that don't drink. I think, actually, I wouldn't know that because I don't hang around with anybody that doesn't drink, so how would I know? But it's a nice thought, isn't it? But I'm talking to Craig. Yeah, there have been times. The night I told you guys that we went to Nobu, we had a limousine. And I hate limousines. The only reason why I would drive in one is because I don't want to drive when I know I'm going to be out in the evening having a cocktail or two. I do not want to drive my car. So we had a limo, and the guys at my friend's place had provided it for us. I didn't, it's not something that, I would readily order or be able to afford. But we had this limo, and I was blind stinking that night. I don't mind telling you either. I walked out of there holding a beer bottle. I walk out of the restaurant with a beer bottle. Hi, how you doing? That's great. Nobody stopped me. I get into the limo, and I tell Maria. Maria says, well, I'd like to hear some music, some disco. Okay, I'll get it for you, honey. I can't. Hold on. It took me like the whole hour going home to find the station. And, wait a minute. I know. It's 104.3. Yeah, okay. I got So went by it again. Let me try and go back at it this time. Just all those stupid drunk jokes, And, and it was such a shameful evening, too, because it wasn't a tequila night. It was a, God forgive me that I'm saying this, it was a apricot sake night. Oh, I just started powering this apricot sake. Yeah, with the little, I had a horrible headache the next day. It was horrible. All right, now that I've just bared that, let's just swim right in here. Shorty, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil.
Hi, Shorty.
Phil, I've got a real issue with the bit that you did with Tim McVeigh stamping out the camel crap and that Tim is a great little jokester.
Oh, when we did this, I have to explain to people.
Please.
That Timothy McVeigh's fertilizer bomb was the result of him playing gags on his army buddies in Desert Storm by lighting camel crap on fire and putting it into a bag and lighting it on fire. Right?
Exactly.
Okay. What's your problem with that?
Well, my problem with it is, I thought it was great with the military guy who wanted him to be gang raped 50 times a day in prison. That's great.
Uh-huh.
But I couldn't see where you were taking the listener on something that was exceedingly painful, and there was just no humor in the why, the what his background was, or anything.
Now, this, when you talk about Oklahoma City being painful, who's that painful to exactly, other than the people of Oklahoma City and the people who were involved in the injury?
I think it's painful to see any innocent people who are just going about their lives, whose lives are taken away and changed forever because of one person's craziness.
Oh, I agree. But there is a point, and I've said this before, after which you have to be able to comment on it in a variety of ways. I think if I'd done that bit the next day, or even a week after it, or a month after it, but it's been now 1993? What? No, it was 95. It's been six years.
That's true, but I don't disagree with that. But it just, when babies are killed, and this has never happened in our country. This kind of carnage has never happened.
Well,
and it was just bad taste, Bill.
Huh? Bad taste? Let me tell you what a few of my European friends have said to me, which is, what is it with you Americans in this Oklahoma City bombing? I said, well, what? He said, you know, this happens all the time, all over the world. America is just now getting its fair taste of it. Bombs go off in pubs and in department stores and in cars and in Jerusalem. Jesus, imagine the people of Israel. I bet you bombs were going off in this country as often as they go off in Britain, Northern Ireland, in Italy, in the Middle East. Sooner or later, we'd start making some jokes, because you know, after a while, it's only so much somber, sad, and tasteful silence one can maintain. America is getting a taste of what the rest of the world has been dealing with since the end of World War II.
Well, and you know, in our little U.S. cocoon that we live,
and we do live in a cocoon over here.
You're right, we do, and that was just something that we could have understood terrorists coming in from another country with an agenda, but to have one of our own soldiers do this in his protest against our government, most of whom we make jokes about everyone in our government. So there probably isn't much that he...
Keep in mind, this is a country of people that made fun of Chelsea Clinton's looks when she was a little 11-year-old girl. Boy, that's classy. Let's start making fun of a kid who's got braces.
Yeah,
this was done by some of the prominent commentators. But you know what? The bit is not really about those poor kids that died. The bit is about Timothy McVeigh being seen in some circles as a good boy gone bad. Or Timothy McVeigh seen in some circles as a fine army guy who just sort of got twisted around. Some people have tried to paint that picture of this guy. Tim McVeigh, you know, he isn't so much a terrorist. He isn't so much a rotten reprobate. He was a good soldier, and somewhere along the line, a guy just screwed up and blew up a bunch of kids. I mean, people are trying to sell that. People are trying to pitch that. So what we did is we took it and said, yeah, what a jokester. Har, har, hearty, har, har. Tim McVeigh lit camel crap on fire in the Gulf, and this is another crap joke that got out of hand. Now, the truth hurts, but I understand what you're saying, Shorty, and I don't disagree. It is not funny to see children suffer. It is not funny to see people suffer, but it is also important to comment on it. And after a while, if we had to deal with that kind of thing the way the rest of the world has had to deal with it for lo these many years, we'd start making a few more jokes than we do right now. Because you have to, sooner or later, let yourself up for air and live your life, even though you got bombs going off in pubs and cars and hardware stores and department stores, and you don't know whether the next breath you take is going to be your last when you walk into a freaking pizza parlor like those people down in Jerusalem the other day. Guy goes in to get himself a slice with a little extra mozzarella. Next thing you know, he is the mozzarella. Or was that a tasteless joke I just made? And is it tasteless? Or is it not tasteless, depending upon where I made the joke? If I made it in Jerusalem, it might have been tasteless, but because I'm in America, maybe it was all right. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to The Phil Hendry Show, and this is You May Now Talk to Phil, and that was a very good question, Shorty. We got a lot more of those coming up next on the Phil Hendry Show.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
Okay, this is You May Not Talk to Phil here. 1-800-449-8686. Your opinions and ideas about life, the show, you. Here's Scott. Hi, Scott. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, hey, Phil. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I just wanted to tell you real quickly. It was funny at work because the IT guy was going through removing sound cards, and I was listening to your show every single day.
Mm-hmm.
I actually fought the system and won to get. I was the only one to get mine reinstalled.
Sound cards are they enabled you to live stream stuff?
Yeah, it was the only way to get it off the internet was to have it plugged into the back, and for that I needed a sound card. Otherwise,
oh, cool.
I was just reduced to the CD.
Would you tell them, hey, listen, I'm not doing any work. I'm listening to this radio show. Can you? Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, basically it came down to the fact that I was doing my job, and I felt, look, if I'm put in a place of discomfort by not getting the show, my stats might go down.
Yeah. Well, you know, they. No kidding.
Yeah. So that
and it worked,
out.
Huh?
It did. But I wanted to ask you, since I've been listening to you, you know, and you've talked a little bit about your education, your interest in history. What's the kind of literature that inspired you, you know, when you were growing up in your 20s and 30s when you were just banging around and, you know, doing whatever?
Oh, well, I read all the beat guys, you know, Jack Kerouac and Gregory Corso and Allen Ginsberg, a lot of crap that we're talking about right now that nobody knows what I'm talking about, Scott, right? You do, though, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, okay. Were you a fan of Bukowski?
No, I didn't, although I had friends of mine that were into Charles Bukowski. He lived. Is he dead?
He's dead.
He lived here in L.A. In fact, I lived and hung out at Santa Anita Racetrack, and friends of mine actually would go up and rap with him when he was hanging on a rail over there at Santa Anita.
Oh, wow.
And he was just scummy enough to attract my friends. But by this point, I was living in Florida, so I didn't get to know him.
Oh, okay.
But I did like the beat writers and anybody that was a sort of stream of and Mad Magazine and Spy Magazine and National Lampoon, all that, you know?
Well, when did you start getting interested in history? Was that like a lifetime?
When I was a kid, I always loved it. Yeah, always dug it. My teacher, you know, I was really not a good student in high school for a variety of reasons. But
neither was I.
My history teacher, Mr. Cacaro, was his name. I loved this guy. And when we went to our reunion, our high school reunion, I walked up to him. I said, "You were the best teacher I ever had." And he's like, "You're kidding me. You guys were screw ups." I said, "Well, I just want you to know, you were tremendous. You were a you know, great teacher." And he was this guy, he was funny, and he was a performer, and he would get in front of the class, and he would move around and use the front of the classroom as a stage. And the subject matter I liked, so.
Yeah, that can make all the difference in the
yeah,
world.
Yeah, he's a good teacher.
Well, thanks for your time.
Thanks
Phil,
for calling, man.
Take it easy.
Bye-bye. Yeah, and Mr. Ehring was my other history teacher in high school, and he was a garbage man in the summer because the guy couldn't make enough money as a teacher. So during the summer, he hauled garbage around, you know. And he used to say to us, "Hey, don't knock it, kids. It's $15 an hour, huh? It's good money." I said, "Mr. Ehring, you dump garbage?" "Yeah, damn right." And that was one day I was leaning over in gym class, actually in the locker room to tie my shoe, and a pack of Marlboros fell out of the top of my pocket, hit the floor. A kid walking by right at that moment kicked them right out into the middle of the locker room as Ehring was walking by. Ehring looks down, sees a pack of Marlboros, picks them up, looks around, sticks them in his pocket, and walks out. Okay, I don't know what I'm going to do here. Here's Mark on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil. How you doing?
Good.
Long time listener. I've been listening to you since you were down here in South Florida with Neil Rogers when you and Neil did the best 8 hours of AM radio, best of FM radio, AM radio, best radio, and funniest 8 hours in history. And it's too bad listeners around the country don't know what I'm talking about.
They don't. So let's move on. But no, thank you. That's very nice.
But the thing that I like, no matter what bit you're doing, when you get mad at yourself when when your guest steps in line, I've never believed that I'd listen to the radio and have the expression ball sack get into so many routines.
Yeah, it shows that we really need help writing.
It's
gotta
funny,
fall back.
Whether
no,
it's
you're right.
Steve Bozell or Chris Norton, you can get it in, and it's just funny, funny, funny. And then at the end of the hour when you're really – pissed off at yourself and you say, well, you're right to the real caller. Now, I'm going to go home now. My wife's in the hospital and
right,
I'm going to go home to an empty house and feel real sorry for yourself. And the caller just is eating. Oh, well, no, I didn't mean to get upset. Oh, you know what? If I do that, oh, I'm sorry. And it just, you have the meeting out of your hand. It's hysterical.
Well, it's all part of just using the, it calls differently. This one lady called, I think, from South Florida. She was screaming. She was crying. You can't do this to people. She was indicting me, basically. And I said, well, my wife has been sick. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. You know, well, you know, it's cancer. Oh, my God, really? Yeah, and next thing you know, they're not mad, so that's the key. Thank you for calling. 1-800-449-8686. Let's see, Mike, where should I go? We got one guy who wants to know if Chris Norton's a closet homosexual, and the other one who wants to know which characters look like me. And you think... Oh, okay. Here's Eric. Hi, Eric. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil. How you doing?
Good.
First of all, it's an honor to speak to you. I'm sure I speak for a lot of people that would love to speak to you. I didn't say they look like you. I wanted to know, in your mind, because we all have our descriptions, what do some of your characters to you look like? In other words, what does Bobby Dooley look like?
Oh, Bobby Dooley is about 5'5". She's got a little kind of a... she's got big hair with little tight capri pants. And her husband, Steve, wears the wife beater T-shirt. Let's see. Eric, are you still there?
Out of it.
Oh, are you there, Eric?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm sorry.
I always pictured Bobby Dooley as having a mole with a big hair sticking out of it.
Now, she's a Southern California... She went to SC. She's a real specific type wife. There's a California kind of housewife. I can't describe her, but let me just do the best I can.
All right.
She's got kind of the bobbed blonde hair. Wears the jumpers, maybe a little throw-up thing over the shoulder. Kind of wears the capri pants and has the slip-ons, and she shops at Gelson's and Vaughn's and is a busybody. She's got her nose in everything that's going on in the neighborhood, and she's always freaking talking, can't shut up, and is really dangerous because she's a very fascistic. You know, there's just enough feminism in her to believe that all men are potential rapists and harassers, and just enough.
I grew up on Long Island. I know the type.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know what? I really do. We're 3,000 miles away, and I really know what you're talking about.
Well, maybe it's very, very American, you know.
How about Doug Danger?
Well, Doug is a tall guy. He's about 6'3". He's got dark hair, and he's got a good build. There isn't anything overtly sexual about Doug. He's gay.
You mean sexual?
Well, Doug Danger is, that's a whole other guy. Doug is gay, and he's a gay journalist, but it's all about the politics, and his private life is very much private. He's probably the best kind of gay guy for a lot of straights who are homophobic, because he doesn't really talk about the sex. He talks about the politics of it, and he's a particular kind of gay activist. But he looks like a tall, muscular guy. Maybe he's got topsiders and walks around with a notepad and a pen, in his ear all the time. And maybe kind of a tweed jacket or some kind of a jacket that he wears with a pullover bandolon shirt.
Now, a lot of your characters based on people that you've just sort of twisted around and kind of morphed them into what you've made them?
Well, Doug Danger is a guy that I heard on the radio once up in Minneapolis. And he was, this guy was talking. He was Southern, and he had a lisp.
A Southern lisp?
Yeah, he was talking like
that
this.
Could be dangerous.
It's like it was from Carolina or something, but he was talking like this, And, and I just think, he was very intelligent, very well spoken, but kind of a gay Southern guy, I guess. And not that they all gay guys lisp, but most of them do. No, I'm just kidding.
I also lived in New York City, and trust me, it's better than 50%.
They're lisping up there. But I think that he. Looks like that. Can I tell you? 1-800-449-8686. It is true that there's a high percentage of gay men who do kind of... I think they affect their speech. I don't think a gay guy is born with a certain way of speaking. I think that they affect the way they talk to... It's modeled after other gay men that they've heard. I think if it's just... Well, you knock it off with that and just talk like a guy. Oh, okay, you mean like that? Yeah. Don't be up here. You don't have to do this. Why are you doing that? Because you talk like me, right? Well, I do, yeah. A lot of gay men are just, they talk like normal guys. Some guys will affect that because it's a role model thing. They identify with that. And I do know what I'm talking about because I was on a freaking at the boat parade in Fort Lauderdale 5 years ago with a whole group of gay guys from the district bar, and they were singing Jingle Bells, and it sounded like this. Jingle bells, jingle bells. And I know not all of you guys talk like that. Stop it. There was a couple of drag queens up there. Jingle all the way. And when I finally talked to one of them, hey, how you doing? I'm Bob. And he was wearing like some full-on drag Santa Claus costume. Hey, how you doing, sucker? All right, 1-800-449-8686. I got one more minute here. Andy, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil. I definitely think Chris Norton's a closet homosexual.
I don't think he is. I think that, well, maybe he is, but I don't think he knows it. He's not conscious at all of it. He hangs around with that Lance Germain guy.
He takes naked pictures of him.
So Chris is so stupid, for starters, that he may not have any conscious recognition of that, but I think you're right. I think you're right. I think he is.
You were talking about the speech, too, because it's kind of his little things where he's talking about having sex.
Yeah, but that's kind of just a dumbass thing, you know, sass. I mean, he's literally so lazy, so stupid, that he can't even take the time to pronounce the X the way it should. It's just, it's not sex, it's sass. Because there's just a whole lot of Puerto Rican rum going there. All right. 1-800-449-8686. We're going to come back with our flashback here on The Phil Hendry Show.
Now, Phil Hendry.
Okay, checking back on PhilHendryShow.com for a Phil Hendry Polls America poll. The update here is that for the question, who is worse for society, a preacher in the name of Jesus scamming money from people or the dumbass that gives him the money, who do you think is worse, the preacher or the dumbass? You guys overwhelmingly, 61%, say the dumbass is much worse. And so that's today's poll question at PhilHendryShow.com. I liked yesterday's. We asked which was the biggest load of the summer so far. Was it Pearl Harbor? Was it Jurassic Park? Was it AI? Was it what?
Tomb Raider.
Lara Croft, Tomb Raider. Lara? Why didn't you say Laura, man? Well, it ain't Lara. Look at you getting it right. Is it Lara? It's not Lara Croft. Oh, get you. Look at Schaefer. It's Lara, not Laura. Let me ask you something. Is it news or is it news? Yeah, you don't know. All right. What? Neither do I, by the way. 1-800-449-8686, the number you call to reach the Phil Hendry Show. We'll see you guys in the next segment.
Phil Hendry. Flashback.
Bring a daughter by myself. Mm-hmm. I'm sure she can get a better job. If she wants to be an actress, that's fine. Well, work around her child.
Mm-hmm. Well, what if? Well, wait a minute. Where's the father?
My father?
No, you're the. Where's
the
your
father
husband?
Of my child?
Yes.
He's gone.
Oh,
he is
going,
not here.
Serena.
I'm a single parent.
Good going,
I do
Serena.
It by myself.
Well, you really hit a home run with him, didn't you?
I sure
that's,
did.
That's a
not
real
the
good...
out of the park, honey. Not the out of the park,
right out of the
but
park.
I'm a great
yeah.
mom. I provide
mm-hmm.
everything for my child,
well,
and I'm
if...
sure she could do the same thing.
Right,
I'm
let's not knock
I'm
Serena
sure
because you know you're doing the best you can, Serena. Right?
Exactly.
Well,
so
more
quit
than
making
the best
fun of her, okay?
I want to ask you something, Serena. Seriously, okay? Seriously, all right? Are you listening to me?
I'm listening to you.
Art Howell, who's one of the biggest television producers in Los Angeles, comes to you and says, "Serena, you're it." You're it, Serena. You're the next Felicity. You're the next Moesha. You're the next Christina. We want you, but you're going to have to get rid of that kid.
You know what? I said holler at you. I was the next accountant.
Holler
I made straight A's in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say, sorry, you take me and my child, or you don't take me at all.
But what if the child? What if the child wasn't born yet? What if it was just almost not yet a... It was gelatinous. Let's say that...
Oh, will you come on? Call it what it is, a fetus.
Well, Phil, why are you yelling at me?
What do you mean gelatinous?
What are you thinking?
What if you could just, with a little vacuum suck, you're the next Felicity? With just the sound of a Hoover...
No, I'm not.
Hello?
I'm here. I would.
What's going
on
around here,
ma'am? I would not do it.
You would.
I found out when I was 3 weeks pregnant.
You
could have. That gave me plenty of time.
Mm-hmm.
I knew right then what I was going to do, and she should too.
Well, you know what? That's exactly the decision she's going to make. And I think she needs to make the decision that says, this is a shot for me. I can be on television. I can be on the TV with Titus and Felicity and Malcolm in the Muddle and all of them. Wouldn't you want to be? Wouldn't you?
What about next season? What about next season when the show's canceled and she's out of a job and a child?
What if his pile of crap sitcom goes under and now she's given over her fetus?
This is the whole thing.
If she can't take it back.
No, you're missing my point. She can give the fetus over to the doctors that make medicine out of it. You're not listening to me.
You mean the stem cell research?
Yes. What about that, Serena?
The stem cell research, I think if a child has problems and it's not going to make it through its life...
Isn't that precious?
That
is
would
that your
be
little,
okay. If the child was not going to have a life,
is that
maybe.
Is that your little daughter?
Excuse me?
Is that your daughter there?
Yes, I do, and she's beautiful.
Would you put her up to the phone so I can say hello to her? She sounds precious. Give me the phone, Steve. Hello, darling. I'm Bobby. How are you, sweetheart? You wouldn't mind if the doctors made a medicine out of you when you were...
Will you knock that off?
What did you just say to my daughter?
Never mind, ma'am.
I didn't say anything.
You know what you said.
I heard what you said at the end. I sure did.
Well, I'm trying to be honest with the child.
Boy, oh boy.
Medicine out of it.
There is some... You have...
There's some kind of an alcoholism. I think there's an alcohol abuse in your house.
Okay,
look at Serena.
Can I talk to your son? How old's your son? He's a little bit older,
yeah,
if he can understand.
I'll get him. Hey.
Hey, how old are you, sweetie?
16.
You're 16?
Yeah.
Is it okay if we take your life and to make some medicine for some other people?
What do you mean, like Final Fantasy or something?
No, I'm talking about real life. Can we take your life and make medicine for other people?
Take my what?
Your life.
Life?
Your life.
Your life.
L-I-F-E. Can we kill you and take your life?
Yeah, sure. How much?
No, you're not paid.
Would I get $1 million?
Forget your mama and your dad.
Would I get $1 million or something?
You would be dead.
If you're dead, what difference does it make?
Huh? Yeah, that's okay.
Wait a minute, kid. What we're saying is we're going to make medicine out of you.
What are you talking about? Turn the phone back. What are you saying to my son?
I asked him if it was okay if we take his life.
His life?
To make medicine.
His life.
His life. To make medicine for
he
other
laugh.
People.
He loves to laugh.
His life. L-I-F-E.
My wife don't spell too good.
Life, you idiots. Life.
How dare you?
Well, Bobby...
What were you saying to my 8-month-old child?
Oh,
you're the one that put him on the phone.
You put that little baby up on the phone.
He's 16 years old.
Oh, I said something about, would you mind? She can't understand what I'm saying. My son can't understand what you're saying.
Exactly.
So that's the difference.
He's 16 years old.
That's the difference.
Well, Bobby.
That is the difference.
Bobby, that was lower than low to say to that little baby, can we grind you up and make medicine out of you?
Oh, I'm fooling.
He's just clowning.
You
well,
don't
clown
with my child. I'm a mature parent.
Oh, I've heard about all you Southern mothers. You release the parking brake. Next thing you know, they're in the lake.
Exactly. So
that's a really horrific thing to say.
Exactly.
Well, isn't that what
and the next like? The next thing I know, I'm in the lake after my child.
That's right.
I take very good care of my child.
All right.
I work like a dog for my child.
Hey, Bobby, why don't you sober your husband up, okay? It's called black coffee.
I told him to.
Oh, God.
What's the guy do? He gets off the job and then comes home and starts getting pickled?
Hello, is that your daughter?
My daughter's... Oh, but my daughter's sitting here nursing.
Yeah, let me talk to her again.
She's busy.
She's nursing?
Yes, she's busy.
Can I watch?
Phil Hendry.